جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله،
اللهم صل
على محمد، الهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
During the month of Shawwal, there is anniversary, an important anniversary, and that is the istishhad, the martyrdom of our sixth Imam, الإمام جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
الإمام الصادق was given this title by his grandfather, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, when he said, according to الإمام زين العابدين, على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, إذا ولد ابن جعفر بن محمد ابن علي ابن الحسين ابن علي ابن أبي طالب فسموه الصادق. When this son is going to be born, and this is 70 years after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet died in the year 11 of Hijra. Imam al-Sadiq was born in 83 Hijri, almost 7 decades between the Prophet and the birth of the Imam. But of course, the Prophet, through his knowledge that has been divinely inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will allow the Prophet to know what will happen in the future. So he prophesied the birth of the Imam, and he gave him this title. Actually, the titles of the Imams, all the Imams were given to them before their birth by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Some people say that the Shia tradition has been attributed to Imam al-Sadiq. They are named the Ja'fari tradition versus Maliki and Hanafi and Hanbali and Shafi'i. So if there is a gap between 70 years gap between the death of the Prophet and the birth of Imam al-Sadiq, how can we connect, we the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, to the Prophet through an Imam who has a gap, 70 years gap between him and the Prophet? Very good question. The answer is simple. The answer is, Imam al-Sadiq is not separated from the Prophet, physically separated, but theologically, religiously, mentally, spiritually. He's connected to the Prophet through his forefathers, through his father Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Baqir through his father Imam Zain al-Abidin, through Imam Hussein, and Imam Hassan through Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is the gate to the city of the knowledge. And the city of the knowledge is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no separation between the Imams and the Prophets. The Imam himself, the sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq, says, Hadithi hadithu abi. What I am telling you, it's what my father has told me. Wa hadithu abi hadithu jaddi. And what Imam Baqir said to the people is what Imam Zain al-Abidin said to them. What Imam Zain al-Abidin said to them is the hadith of his father, Imam Hussein. The hadith of Imam Hussein is the hadith of his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen is the hadith and the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And where can you find a chain of narrators, such a golden chain of narrators, of such a pious, reliable, trustworthy people like the family of the Prophet, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt? Where can you find? So when we say qala as-sadiq wa qala al-baqir, as if we are saying qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not invent. They are not inventors of hadith. Everything they say, everything they produce, everything they give, everything they preach is the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This Imam was raised when he was born, and he was born during the time of Bani Umayyah. 50 years after that, the regime of Bani Umayyah collapsed. Another regime came up, the regime of Bani Abbas. So the Imam lived almost 50 years of his life during Bani Umayyah, and the last 10, 15 or 17 years of his life during the time of Bani Abbas. The last 50 years of the regime of Bani Umayyah, 10 khalifs or caliphs or khulafa of Bani Umayyah were ruling during these 50 years of Imam's life. And the first 15, the last 15 years of his life, 2 khulafa of Bani Abbas were ruling. The first khalifa is Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah, and the second one was Al-Mansur al-Dawaniqi, or Mansur al-Abbasi. He's a brother. They were 2 brothers. And he was the one who poisoned the Imam and ultimately caused the death and the martyrdom of Al-Imam al-Sadiq in the city of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, and he's buried. Those of you who have been to the Baqi', you can see the grave of the sixth Imam in the cemetery of Al-Baqi'. His mother, his father was Al-Imam al-Baqir. He was raised during his time, and also his grandfather Zain al-Abidin alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And then his mother is also was one of the scholars in the city of Medina. Her name is Ummu Farwa. Her father is Al-Qasim, another scholar, the son of another scholar by the name of Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr is the son of the first caliph, Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. Abu Bakr married Asma bint Umays. Before he married her, Asma was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the younger brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was martyred in the Battle of Mu'tah in southern Jordan today, the north part of the Arabian Peninsula. His grave is there in the city of Mu'tah. After his death, the death of Ja'far, Abu Bakr married his wife, Asma bint Umays. And then in the year 10th of Hijrah, Muhammad was born. Muhammad, whose father is Abu Bakr and his mother is Asma bint Umays. But then Muhammad, when he was only 3 or 4 years old, his father Abu Bakr died. So Imam Ali alayhi salam married Asma bint Umais while Muhammad was little boy. So he is the foster son, the foster child of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Biologically, he's the son of Abu Bakr. But spiritually and mentally and religiously, he is the product of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imam Ali raised him. He stood with Imam Ali, loyal to his stepfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was fighting alongside Imam Ali in the battle of Jamal and the battle of Safin. Then Imam Ali appointed him the governor of Egypt. When he arrived into Egypt, Amr ibn al-As murdered Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, of course, at the order of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muhammad was only 28 years old when he died in Egypt. So Muhammad had a son called Al-Qasim who became a scholar. Umm Farwa is the daughter of Al-Qasim. Umm Farwa is the mother of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. And I mentioned last night here that Imam al-Sadiq is the mentor, the leader, the teacher, the supervisor, if you will, of two of the great imams of the madahib. One of them is Abu Nu'man, Abu Hanifa, al-Nu'man ibn Thabit, al-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kabuli. He is born in Kabul, Afghanistan, the leader of the Hanafi tradition, Abu Hanifa. Al-Nu'man ibn Thabit, al-Zuqi al-Kabuli. So the Imam was his mentor, his teacher, and also the mentor and the teacher of Malik ibn Anas. Malik ibn Anas is the Imam of the Maliki Madhab, who was born in the city of Al-Madinah. And during the time of Bani al-Abbas, he became the sole mufti. La yufta wa malikun fil Madinah. Bani al-Abbas, they issued a decree that no one has the right, including the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, including Imam al-Sadiq, no one has the right to issue a fatwa while Malik, Imam Malik, is present. Imam Malik was also the teacher of Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, and this is what he says about his teacher, Imam Malik. This is what he says. اختلفتُ إلى جعفر ابن محمد زماناً. اختلفتُ, I studied under him for a period of time. وَمَا كُنْتُ أَرَاهُ إِلَّا عَلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ. Every time I come to visit him or see him, I see him in these three conditions. إِمَّا مُصَلٍ وَإِمَّا صَائِمٍ وَإِمَّا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. Either he was praying or fasting or reciting the Qur'an. وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ يُحَدِّثُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا عَنْ طَهَارٍ. Whenever he gives the hadith, whenever he transmits a hadith on behalf of the Prophet, he was on tahara, on wudu, on wudu. He would never say a hadith on behalf of the Prophet without wudu. إِلَّا عَلَى طَهَارَ وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي. My teacher, always I see him, he does not speak about things that are not related to him. Things that are fruitless. He would not delve into these issues. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْعُبَّادِ الزُّهَادِ. He was one of the great ascetic. Zuhad means the person who has no attachment to this dunya. His focus is not this dunya. His focus is the akhirah. He's focusing on his akhirah, the second chapter of his life, the eternal chapter. وَلَقَدْ حَجَجْتُ مَعَهُ سَنَةً فَلَمَّا أَتَى الشَّجَرَةَ أَحْرَمْ. One year I was with him performing the Hajj. When we arrived Masjid al-Shajara for the purpose of Ihram, the beginning of the journey of Hajj, فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يُلَبِّي كَادَ يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ. When he was about to say لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ, he was about to pass out of reverence and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قلت له لا بد لك من ذلك. I said to him, we cannot pass this station and go into Mecca unless you say the talbiya labbaik Allahumma labbaik. He answered, the Imam answered, فقال إني أخشى أن يقال أن يقال لي لا لبيك ولا سعديك. I fear that if I say لبيك اللهم لبيك here, my Lord, I'm coming to you. Allah says, don't come to me. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear your voice. This is a lesson for us, a lesson of humility, and how to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lesson for us. لا لبيك ولا سعديك. This is the testimony of Imam Malik ibn Anas on behalf of Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. So our madhab, our school of thought was formalized and crystallized and formulated and took shape by this, the great Imam. Our madhab, it connects to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but through Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq used to speak on behalf of the Prophet. Every lesson, every hadith he says was the hadith of the Prophet, and he gathered the scholars who learned under his instructions. They gathered 400 axioms. 400 asl. Asl is like a theory, if you will, a juristic theory in fiqh and usul. And then after that, these theories were gathered in four books. These four books are the sources of hadith in the Ahlul Bayt school of thought. In the school of Ahlul Bayt of thought, the four major sources of hadith are, number one, Kitab al-Kafi, the Shaykh al-Kulayni. Number two, Kitab man la yahduruhu al-Faqih, the Shaykh al-Saduq. Number three and four, Kitab al-Tahdhib wal-Istibsar, the Shaykh al-Tusi. These four books, Al-Kafi, Man La Yahduruhu al-Faqih, Al-Tahdhib, Al-Istibsar, are the books that gathers the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Zain al-Abidin, Muhammad al-Baqir, Ja'far al-Saliq, alayhi salatu wassalam, and also the rest of the Imams. These are the sources of hadith in the Shia tradition, and this is why the Shia tradition is called the Ja'fari, because the one who crystallized this madhab and put the final touches on this school of thought was Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. On the 25th of the month of Shawwal, this passing month is the anniversary of his martyrdom. We salute our Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, and his family, and his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we repay our allegiance to the school of Ahlul Bayt, to the school that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified and refined them in the Holy Quran when he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد.
نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد أفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البرعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي عن سيدنا ومولانا الإمام أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: ثلاث من حافظ عليها سعد. Three habits. If one maintains them, these three habits, he or she will attain happiness and peace. Number one, إذا ظهرت عليك نعمة فاحمد الله تعالى. When Allah bestows a gift on you, this gift, sometimes material, you buy a new house, new car, inshallah, and you have a son, a daughter, your son graduates, the physician tells you this checkup that you made is good, excellent, you have good health, whatever, blessing. Even when you have a meal today, when you eat, this meal you have it, but others they don't have this meal. When you have a clean drinking water, you may have it, but millions of people, they don't have access to this clean drinking water. Give thanks. احمد الله تعالى. Give thanks. Remember that it is not you who provided this to yourself. It is a sustainer, a provider, who's taking care of you and your family. Always teach yourself to say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Give thanks and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they receive the gift, but they keep complaining. They complain even when they receive the gift, because they want bigger. This is a small. No, I deserve more than this. Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Give thanks to the small one, I will provide you with a bigger gift. The second trait, وَإِذَا أَبْطَأَ عَنْكَ الرِّزْقِ فَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. When there is some interruption in your provision, the income is not good, the market is not good, the business is slow, there is a reason. There is a real reason behind that. Seek forgiveness. Because one of the things that cut off the sustenance from people and deprive them from God's blessings is sin, when they sin, when they commit a sin, a violation. So Allah sends a wake-up call to them. So when you see there is some interruption in your business, in your income, go back to Allah. استغفر الله تعالى. Seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness for what you did. Sometimes you realize what you did, you are aware of it, and sometimes you are not. Oftentimes we commit sins and we are unaware. We think we are not guilty. We think we are innocent. We did not do something wrong. But we did something wrong. So we have to resort back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there is little income, when there is shortages in your income. The third, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْكَ شِدَّةٌ. When you are afflicted with a test, with an affliction, with a calamity, with a loss, with a tragedy. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْكَ شِدَّةٌ فَأَكْثِرْ مِنْ قَوْلِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Always try to repeat this. To repeat this sentence. لَا حَوْلَ. There is no force, there is no power, وَلَا قُوَّةَ, except by my Lord, Billah al-Ali al-Azim. Always try to repeat this. Connect with Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله كنز من كنوز الجنة. It is a treasure trove of paradise. If you are able to appreciate the meaning of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In another hadith, the Prophet says, باب من أبواب الجنة. It's a main gate to heaven, is the saying and the belief in this sentence, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من قال إذا خرج من بيته. Please teach your children this sentence. Teach them. Be the one who teaches them every single day when they ride with you in the car, when you take them to school. Say this. إذا خرج, once a person, a believer, says this. Bismillah. Three sentences, very short. Bismillah. توكلت على الله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يقال له, an angel will say to that person, يقال له هديت وكفيت ووقيت. هديت, you have been guided, هداية. كفيت, you have been sufficed. You don't need people, you don't need the help of others as long as Allah is helping you. ووقيت, you are protected from وقاية. هديت وكفيت ووقيت. What do you want more? More than these three gifts. By simply saying and believing inside your heart. You and your family. Teach the kids to say this. Say Bismillah. Rather than turning the radio to the music immediately, louder music, say these three things. Say it. Moment of silence when we begin. And this is the responsibility of the fathers and the mothers. It is your responsibility. When you sit in the car, before you drive, say to your family, they learn from you. The kids, they learn, and they pass it to the next generation. Bismillah, لا توكلت على الله, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And finally, Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, من قرأ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم 100 مرة باليوم. Believe me, 100 times of this sentence, it takes no more than 7 minutes. No more than 7 to 8 minutes. While you are driving, while you are sitting and watching TV, while you are waiting for the food to arrive. مَنْ قَرَأَ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ 100 مرة باليوم. 100 times. دَفَعَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ 70 نَوْعًا مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ. Allah will protect him against, shield him against 70 types of afflictions and disasters. 70 types. أَقَلُّهَا الْهَمُّ وَالْغَمُ. The least of them are distress and anxiety. The least. Here in America, 83% of the people they use, 83% of the people, they don't enjoy full, peaceful sleep during the night. Many of them, they survive on sleeping pills. Go and check it out. 83%. Allah has given us beautiful prescription. You don't have to have Obamacare. You don't have to have insurance. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. But with belief, when you believe in that, when you interact, when you really have to interact, you have to know what you are saying. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We were supposed to have a book signing tomorrow, but unfortunately, Professor Talal Turfa, his older brother, died on Sunday, this past Sunday in Dearborn, Michigan, so he had to leave. So this book signing is postponed probably until the month of October. We pray for his brother and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat, and please, they asked me to recite this ayah, to bring, inshallah, shifa and healing and relief to many of our dear community members who are waiting for our dua during these holy hours. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء
أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المريضة المنظورة اللهم ألبسها ثوب الصحة والعافية اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الله هي السفلى اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين من على مرضانا بالعافية داوي جرحانا فك أسرانا وسجناءنا فرج عنا وعن المؤمنين في سوريا والعراق واليمن ومصر وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد